Hi, friends. I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna. And this is the Growing Home Together podcast.
We're caring for the soul of your family, helping you grow closer to God
and each other. Thank you for joining us today for the Growing Home Together podcast. You know, this week we sent our son off to summer camp, and we realized in this week that pretty much all of our typical hopes and fears came into play as we put him on that camp bus. We worried if he'd be safe, if he'd stay healthy and well-fed, if he'd make friends or feel left out. And, you know, we worried he'd make some crummy choices or just hate the whole experience and want to come home. But on the flip side, we sent him off with high hopes of him stretching and growing and building his faith in Jesus.
Right. And I'd say that list of hopes and fears is the kind of thing we pray about for our son every day. I don't think anything puts a person on their knees more than having kids and realizing the countless dangers and problems they face as they grow up. But for a lot of us as parents, we don't feel confident in our prayers. We don't always know what to say, and we sometimes feel like we pray the same words over and over without really making a difference at all. For me, I want to fire up my prayer life for my kids and experience God in a more powerful way.
Right, and that is why we are so excited to welcome today's guest, Jody Berndt. Jody is a popular speaker, and she's the author of 10 books, including the best-selling Praying the Scriptures series for children, teens, and adult children. And actually, there's a brand new project of Jody's that we get to hear about today. So you may have heard Jody on shows like Focus on the Family or the 700 Club, or read her work on Fox News or Proverbs 31 Ministries. And she is here to give us some great insight into praying for our kids. So thank you, Jody, for joining us today.
Golly, thank you, Joanna. Thank you, Rob, for that very kind introduction. And I'm just so excited to chat today.
Oh, we are so excited that you're here. And before we jump in to talk about prayer, we would love to hear a little bit about you and your family.
Sure. My husband, also a Rob, he goes by Robbie. He and I have been married about 37 years. We have four adult children. Two are married and three are married, actually. We married off one recently.
Congratulations.
So three married and one engaged. And then we're starting to get the grandchildren. So we're in kind of turning the page on new seasons all the time. And all I know what to say is you never stop being a parent. You know, I think when my kids were littler, I thought, boy, when they just get off to college or get jobs, I can feel like I'm done. And you know what? That's just a myth, isn't it? We never stop loving our kids. We never stop caring about them, and we never stop praying. So that's kind of the season that we are in right now.
Amen. Yeah, we're totally with you in that. And you know, one thing I love that we have in common is that we both believe in the power of prayer, and we've both written prayer books for parents. But your books really stand out because they not only give us targeted prayers for our kids, they lead us to pray the scriptures for them. And we were hoping you could tell us what it means to pray the scriptures and what led you to write about it.
Yeah, great kickoff question. And I'll tell you, I loved your intro. A couple of things. I loved what Rob said about wanting to fire up our prayer life, because that is kind of what led me to write these books about praying the scriptures, because I grew up in a Christian home where people did believe in the power of prayer. But when I had my own children, I started to feel like my prayers were getting a little bit routine and repetitive, kind of along the God bless Johnny lines, help them on their spelling test, let them make friends, you know, all perfectly good prayers. And I think prayers God delights to answer. But I just felt like I wanted my prayers to have more energy, more power, more excitement. I wanted to enjoy that conversation time with God, you know, the way you would if you're with your dearest friend or mentor. And so somewhere along the way, and it may have been when I was a young mom, I got involved with a group called Moms in Prayer, and they pray scripturally, just taking a passage out of the Bible and using the language that God first came up with to help shape not just our desires and our thoughts, but also our prayers. And I got really excited doing that. It just made my Bible reading come alive, and it made my prayers feel so much more energetic. You know, a verse I often share is Ephesians 4:29. And that says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, that it would, according to their needs, that it would benefit those who listen. And I tell you, I was reading my Bible one day and I saw that. And I realized we had these four young kids who were always squabbling as they would get in the car, or wanting to have the better seat, or, you know, whose foot is in whose face, whatever it was. And I just kept thinking, I want them to be nice to each other. I want them to talk nice. And when I read that verse in Ephesians, I thought, that's it. That's what I want. I want no unwholesome talk coming out. I want the stuff that does come out of their mouths and my mouth too. I wasn't much better, you know, to be beneficial, that it would build people up and bless them. And so that sort of became a scripture pattern for me, to just pray that one over and over again, and other verses too. But that's what I mean when I say praying the scriptures. It's taking the promises and the principles we read in the Bible and using them to kind of shape our prayers, because we know, you know, anybody who's read the probably familiar with the idea that God's Hebrews 4 says, you know, God's word is powerful and effective. It's alive. It's active. We know that his word does accomplish his purposes. And so when we pray it, it really does give that power and energy to our prayers.
Yeah, that is so good. And your books are so helpful with that too, and just in getting into that practice and understanding that and having the scriptures. You know, we have five kids, and we still navigate our teen years and tweens with our two youngest, and so we know what it's like to pray for our kids and their dating relationship and their school struggles and their emotional battles, a lot of those things that you talk about in your book, and you name it. But Jody, could you share with us some of the struggles that you and your husband faced in parenting your teens, even though your kids were believers, you know?
I think the teen years is really when, like, I loved in your intro when you talked about sending your child off to camp and you have hopes and fears bound up in that, right? You know, yeah. You know, will they do the right thing? Will they have fun? Will they, you know, be the child you have tried and prayed to raise them to be? I think that comes home in the teen years more than ever before, because we can't always be with our kids. You know, when they're little, we can sort of orchestrate their play dates. We can kind of watch over them. And then suddenly they start to have opinions and personalities. They want to go places, and we might not know who they're with or even where they are at all times. And so I think for me, that was a struggle, first of all. And that was one of the reasons I loved the power of prayer, because I thought, okay, my kids are out of my reach, but they're not out of God's, and he can do a better job taking care of them than I ever could. But I think kind of one of the biggest struggles I faced, and maybe some of your listeners can relate to this, is I think teenagers are a lot of fun. You know, that's their personalities are in full bloom. And I thought I would really enjoy having teens. I liked being a teenager, and I thought, this is going to be a blast. We're going to have fun and do stuff together. And I was sort of surprised that they didn't really want to do stuff with me. and then, you know, when they would start sneaking around, as, you know, my kids did, maybe yours have never, but it just began to feel like, wait a minute. Okay. I thought we'd be really good friends, but I still have to kind of play the role of the cop. I have to be the coach. I have to be these roles that I didn't really see coming. And thanks be to God, you know, he equipped us. He reminded me over and over again in scripture that, hey, his kids took some walks on the wild side as well. And there were times when he felt rejected by his kids. So I felt like God and I, you know, could understand each other, and I could take comfort in the fact that he knew just how I was feeling. But yeah, so that was part of it. And then the other part was, I think in the teen years is when you start seeing that the parents that might be in your neighborhood or your church community or even your small group have different boundaries, different parenting styles. Yes, we all want to point our kids toward Christ, but that looks different from family to family. And so that was another struggle, to just think, okay, the rules that we have in the burnt house might not match the rules that my dear friend has in her house. And we have to be okay with that. And we have to kind of turn to God and let him be setting our standards, because it's not a one size fits all approach to parenting. So I needed to remind myself, okay, don't judge the person down the street who's parenting differently, but don't also question what you feel like God has shown you to do in your parenting if it doesn't match up with someone else's. You know, we need to let God be setting our standards. So that was another struggle, and I guess, you know, in the long run, a victory as he carried us through, but it wasn't a fun race to run.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I know as our kids do get older, it seems like with every year I get hit in the face a little harder with the fact that I tend to create my own definition of what happiness or success or strong character should look like in each of my kids. And I was hoping you could tell us how praying the scriptures can change the goals and the desires that we carry for our children.
Yeah, another great question. And I'm kind of laughing as I'm listening, because I hope people who are tuning in are not saying, wow, this is a depressing conversation. You know, because I will say, now that I'm out the other side, and again, you know, you never stop being a parent, like I said earlier, but my kids really do. I really enjoy them, and I think they enjoy us. And it's kind of come full circle to where now, you know, we are good friends as they've entered their adult years. So hang in there, parents, because it really does get good. But I think that praying the scriptures, just spending time in the scriptures, really can shape our perspective. When Jesus says in John 15, you know, remain in me and let my words remain in you, and you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. He's not just saying, okay, if you slap a Bible verse on something, then God is, you know, bound to do it. What he's saying is that the more we spend time getting to know him through his word and letting his word shape our desires, our longings, our perspective, the more the things that we want for ourselves and for our kids are going to line up with what God wants to do. You know, he's got good plans. We know that. He's got good plans and good purposes for our families. And when we partner with him by using his word and letting those things that we long for create out of that, it's a really exciting thing to find that we might think we're coming up with the prayer, but really God initiated it and put it in our hearts in the first place. And just, you know, that's a 10,000 foot kind of answer. Like at ground level, I would say he might show us that patience or compassion is a really great trait. And so if we have a child who maybe seems super sensitive or slower than some others, just spending time in the Bible might make us go, you know what? That child, yeah, they might seem overly sensitive, but golly, God has made them compassionate and understanding of their peers. So I'm going to affirm that and pray that and ask God to shape that thing that could look like a weakness and being oversensitive into a strength, that they will be attuned to the needs of others. Or same with someone who maybe moves at a little slower pace. That can be so frustrating as you're raising children and saying, come on, everybody, get in the car, we're late to soccer practice. But you can also say, you know what? Thank you, God, for equipping me or for equipping my child with an ability to take their time sometimes and let that become a strength, that they will have time for others and be fully present in conversations without always racing to the next thing. So, I mean, I guess that's what I mean when I say a ground level view, how time spent in the Bible can allow you to see some things that you might, you know, not think of as great. And God can say, oh, no, I've put that there. And in my hands, as you pray about it, I can shape that into something really beautiful.
Right. And I love what you're saying, because then rather than our prayers being completely focused on how can I parent well, God can actually use our prayers to help us learn from our kids.
Absolutely. And don't we do that all the time? You know, our kids really do teach us what it looks like to depend on the Lord, because we need to depend on the Lord. And I think our kids too can teach us how much God loves us, because I think about how much I love when my kids come to me sharing, whether they're sharing a victory or a sorrow, a struggle, a need, you know, a joy, any of that. I want to hear it. And I meet people all the time who say, oh, I don't want to bother God, like with my little concerns or my tiny needs or whatever. I'm like, bother him. He loves you. It's not a bother. He wants to hear from you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And so I think sometimes having kids can really open our eyes to the joy of being a parent and how God feels about us.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, I think, like you said, we don't want to depress the parents here and think it's all whoa. But I know for Joanna and I, it's been really, it's actually helped us delight in God more and our kids more, to be able to release them in prayer, because all of a sudden we're no longer trying to control the outcome. Like you said, we can look at things a little bit differently if our kids are different, because if we've got five kids and they're all They're all very different people, you know? And so if we're always trying to push them through what we think they should be or what we think we should do, that's very stressful. And prayer, you know, for Joanna and I, at a point we just realized releasing them to God actually gives us a lot of peace, and we can just enjoy our kids and trust God for the outcome as we pray through things. So that's really good.
That is such a great point, because I think a lot of times we approach prayer like a vending machine, like we want to get something for our kids, ourselves, whatever. And we totally forget that part of that answer, and maybe even a bigger part than the thing that we were asking for, is that relationship that we get to enter into with the Lord, and that peace that he gives us as we surrender, as we relinquish, as we realize that, hey, it's not all up to us. I mean, what a burden if, you know, if the outcome in our kids' lives were all dependent on us and on our very good parenting, none of us would be able to stand. We'd all be a mess and a pile on the ground. But like with prayer and with trusting God, just as you're describing, it allows us to see, you know, okay, yes, I do have a role in my kids' lives, but it's not on me. You know, I can turn them over to the Lord, and boy, is there freedom from fear and worry there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and one of the things also that helps kind of build my faith and help me release more of my kids to God is when I see how God's working in other people's life and how God is answering other people's prayers in their situation. So what kind of experiences have parents shared with you as they've used the books and prayed the scriptures for their children?
I think the number one thing takeaway that I hear is parents pray and they have discovered that God's answers don't always match up with what they have asked, but they're always more, you know, they're immeasurably more. I love what Tim Keller says about prayer. And this is such a great answer to people say, oh, I don't want to pray the wrong thing. What if I'm not praying according to God's will, or, you know, whatever, you hear that. You know, he says that as children of God, we can rest in the assurance that God really does love us. And he says, when we pray, we can do so knowing that God will either give us what we ask for or what we would have asked for if we knew everything that he knows. So we don't have to worry about praying for the wrong thing. All we have to do is know that we can come before God, our heavenly and loving Father, with our requests and trust that his answer is going to be the right one. Time and again in my parenting saying, okay, that doesn't look like what I thought it would or even what I wanted it to, but I trust you, God. You know, I trust you, and with the perspective of time. And it was really fun to go back this past year and update the first book, which is called Praying the Scriptures for Your Children. And it came out in 2000 or 2001. And there were several areas that needed tweaking. Like, you know, there was no such thing as a child's use of technology back then when I was writing, or their sense of identity, or, you know, who they are, that kind of thing. So we went back and kind of updated the book. And it was a real pleasure, unexpected pleasure, to read and see some of the things I was praying, that friends were praying, and how God's answers continued to unfold, certainly in the month or year that they were praying, but then decades later, as God continued to answer those prayers and provide his blessings to prayers. You know, there's not an expiration date on our prayers, right? They keep going. But I'll tell you, one of the prayers that I just finished a post on this for another outlet, and it was one of the prayers parents told me that they prayed, which surprised me, was, God, if my kids are doing anything wrong, I pray that they would get caught. And I shared that with another friend who said, why on earth would you pray that? Why don't you just pray that your kids will never do anything wrong? That seems much better. And I just laughed when I heard that. I thought, okay, well, maybe you have the faith to pray that your kids will never do anything wrong. but that let my kids get caught prayer was one that a parent shared with me with her 12 or 13 year old daughter was messing around on computers at her husband's office, where they didn't have the same filters that they had at home. And, you know, without even intending to, she had accessed a porn site. And, you know, that's our fear, isn't it? As our kids use technology, just because we can put as many safeguards as we want in, but it's going to be part of their world. And even if, they don't have some, they can't access in our home. Maybe they go to a friend's house and the same filters aren't there, or the parents aren't as, you know, watchful, or maybe our kid's phone doesn't have a search engine, but someone else's does. All of that. We can't just lock them up in a fortress. But what we can do, and what this mother did, was pray for her child's heart, that it would be drawn, as Philippians 4:8 says, to that which is noble and pure and excellent and praiseworthy, all of those good things, so that she could then have that filter to make those choices. And at first, in this particular story, which folks can read in the update book, but the daughter didn't want to admit it at first. You know, she knew what had happened, but, and the parent could tell because they got an alert on the computer, you know, saying, hey, it was accessed from this location, and they figured out what had happened. But they could see the daughter sort of in herself as she carried this burden of shame. And as they prayed, you know, verses like, it's a mercy, you know, confessing opens the door to mercy and forgiveness. And as they prayed through that and walked through that with their child, they were able to show her the link between sin and grace, and that God's desire is to redeem and to restore, you know, and that became, you know, an ugly thing that turned into a beautiful thing as they shepherd her through that. So now this girl knows the freedom that comes with confession. And next time she does something intentionally or accidentally, she's going to, that pathway to God's throne room is going to be so much more familiar because her parents have taught her to walk it. You know, here's how you get to the freedom. And I loved the mercy that these parents showed there, and the fact that they didn't panic, because I've said it before, but you know, when God shows us something in our kids' lives that is unpleasant or ugly, he's not doing it to get us to panic, but he's doing it to get us to pray, because he does, as we said earlier, have good plans and good purposes. And he wants us to partner with him in accomplishing those things through our prayers. So if he shows you something, if you're worried about something, you know, don't go straight to that worry and fear or anger. Yeah, that might happen. We're human. We have those emotions, but turn it around and use it as a prompt to pray and to say, God, I'm going to trust you with this one. Show me how to pray. And then dig into the Bible and find those scriptures that can fortify and animate your prayers.
Hi, friends. Rob and Joanna Tigan of Growing Home Together are the parents of 5 kids ranging in age from elementary school to high school to adult newlyweds. They know the fun and joy and also the stress and confusion that could come with raising kids through all the ages and stages of growing up. Just like you, they worry over their children's safety and well-being. They feel the pressure to train their kids to do what's right, and they carry sadness when their kids struggle or make poor choices. And as parents like you, their greatest hope is to bring up children who know God's love in their life. But Rob and Joanna know they can't control what happens to their kids or the people they become. They have learned how important it is to place their sons and daughters in God's hands. And most of all, they have learned the power of prayer to make a difference in their children's lives. That is why they are so passionate to help moms and dads like you to pray for your kids. They created 2 amazing resources, Powerful Prayers for Your Son and Powerful Prayers for Your Daughter. These beautiful books offer page after page of targeted prayers that cover every kind of challenge and hope your kids will face as they grow. Is your child facing hard circumstances? Are they lonely or anxious? Do they struggle to know God or trust Him? Is it hard to build a close relationship together? Take hold of Powerful Prayers for Your Son and Powerful Prayers for Your Daughter to invite God's love and power into your child's life today. Each title is available for you at growinghometogether.com or wherever books are sold. And now, back to the show.
So, you know, I want to go back to something that you just kind of touched over in an earlier question when you were encouraging parents to not be afraid to ask those little prayers. And, you know, I love how you encourage us to apply the Bible to specific situations our kids face. You know, our child who struggles with depression and anxiety, you know, I know that I can go to the Psalms, and that's a great place that addresses those kind of emotions and struggles. But, you know, you do share in some of the reading that I did, how your family is constantly praying over those little things in the day-to-day, like shopping trips and parking spots. And, you know, I was looking all last night in my scripture for a verse about how to find a parking spot, but I couldn't find it specifically. So, but tell the parent who isn't sure if God really wants to get involved in the mundane parts of our life and our family life. What do you think about that?
Psalm 37 verses 23 and 24 in the New Living Translation, it says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." And I think about that, and I think he really does delight in every detail. And while I never want to take the mystery and the magic out of prayer by treating it, you know, I mentioned the vending machine earlier. I don't want to look at God. But I think that when we trust him for that kind of thing, and yes, you're right, I do write about how I used to take my children to the mall and we would pray about what we had to buy because I'm not a good shopper. I don't like shopping. And our children's, I once was doing a talk at a, I don't know, I think I was in Connecticut somewhere, and my daughter was in the audience. She was an adult then, and someone said, "I've got a question, but my question isn't for Jody, it's for her daughter. I want to know what you thought about having a mother who prayed." And my daughter grabbed the microphone and she goes, "I didn't like it." And I thought, oh my gosh, here we go. And she goes, "Well, I didn't like it at first because it seemed like, A, she was always praying that we'd get caught." You know, we talked about that earlier. And she said, and she was praying about, like, we'd have to buy a new pair of pants and we'd pray about that. And she's, and, but I love what she said, even as I'm sitting there wishing the floor would open up and swallow me as I'm at this big event. And she, but what it did for me was teach me and show me that prayer doesn't have to be complicated. It can be part and parcel of our everyday lives. And she basically said what, you know, neuroscience has proven now, that our thoughts, our neuro pathways in our brains make familiar paths. And if we are used to going before God with the little stuff, we'll know the way to his presence when the big stuff comes along. And so I'm just a huge fan of talking to him about the small details of our lives, also the big details. But, you know, isn't it true that when he answers small prayers, sometimes that equips us to pray with greater faith? And when he answers any prayer, whether it's a big need or a little one, I think it equips us to live with greater gratitude because we are seeing God as the source of all things, you know, the source of a cancer healing or the source of, you know, a pair of shoes that we might need for an event. And I, again, I don't mean to minimize it or make it little. I hope that you'll hear what I'm saying, that it just equips us to see him as our provider, as the lover of our souls, as the source of all good things. And so I think it helps build our faith and our trust when we trust him in the little stuff.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Amen.
Yeah. So I think we have some overlap in our families in that right now we're parenting a couple of our kids through their young adult season of life. And, you know, after all these years, I can think of prayers that I've been lifting up for them over and over again, over years of time. So what would you tell the mom or the dad who's been praying for an issue on their heart over months or years, but doesn't yet see any fruit from those prayers?
There's a reason that Psalm 27:14 says, be strong and take heart, or be strong and take courage and wait on the Lord, because waiting does take courage and it does take strength and it does take perseverance. But as anyone who's ever waited on God to provide and then seen that provision come, you can see that it does help hone your faith, your prayer muscles, so to speak. It makes you more grateful when the answer does come. But it also, I think, in the waiting process, we can give God time to kind of hone our desires. Because maybe the thing that we were asking him for, we think it's one thing, but he can, during the prayer process, shape it to become even something else, something greater. And I'll tell you, I don't think there's a tidy answer for this one. I wish I could say, yes, when you don't see the needle moving, trust God because it will, and put a period there, because all of us have times when we are in the waiting process. All I can do is tell you when I went through a really hard season and praying for something, I was actually working on the book about praying for your adult children, and a couple of my adult kids were going through some really hard places in work and in relationships. And I was confident that I knew what a good plan was. It seemed like a good plan, a godly plan. My children agreed with it. You know, anybody who was trying to put it under a microscope from a moral standpoint would have said, yeah, this is good and right. And it wasn't happening. And that was just hard for me. And I thought, okay, I've written all these books about prayer. I've been speaking to audiences about prayer for more than 20 years. I should have more faith. I shouldn't be like, I trusted God, but I was kind of discouraged in the trusting, if that makes sense. You know, it didn't change my confidence that he was on his throne or anything, but I wanted to pray with joy and to wait with expectation instead of like weariness. And so I took that to God. I was like, I'm really sorry. You know, I feel so lame. I feel like a bad Christian. And I felt like God kind of interrupted me all of a sudden. And he just said, Jody, you know what? It's okay. And that just sort of stopped me in my tracks. And he said, it's okay. Your confusion, your grief, your sadness, your disappointment, all of those things are real. And that's okay. But I want you to be able to bring those things to me. Because what I want at the end of the day is I want you to want me. I want you to want to be with me. Yes, you can ask me for the gift, but what I really want to give you is the giver. You know, we want result. God wants relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes these unmet longings are the very tethers that can keep us attached to God and pressing into him and just coming to him with, you know, he can take our questions, our confusion, our anger. What he wants is for us to come to him. And so to the person who's waiting and hasn't yet received the answer, or the answer's not looking like what you thought it should, I would say just take that to God, climb into his lap, just like our kids did when they were little and they didn't understand something or they were hurt, and we could comfort them, and just spend some time there and enjoy that embrace and let God comfort you and then stand you back up, you know, on your feet again. Because if we try to tamp that hurt or that confusion, you know, down into the ground and put the manhole cover on, that's not how what God wants. You know, he wants us to bring it to him so that he can handle it for us.
That's good. Yeah. And it reminds me, I love that idea of he wants to give us the giver. That's great. And it reminds me in our marriage how in the years of Joanna training me on what romance looks like, you know, like, you know, can you bring me some flowers or something? And, you know, if I just went out and like did it right then and got her some flowers, it probably wouldn't mean much, but what she really wanted was my heart, and to know that she had my heart and I had her heart and that whole thing, you know. And it was more than just the act of getting that thing or whatever. And so I don't know why it reminded me of that, but I just think that's a beautiful
picture. Think that's beautiful, actually. I even love the way you phrased that when you said training you in the art of romance, because, you know, scripture says, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, and training, and I think rebuking's in there, in righteousness. I think as we're spending time in the scripture, a training does happen to where we get to know God's heart and what he values and how we can show our love for him, just like, you know, bringing flowers, or how we can receive his love for us. So I love that you likened it to a husband-wife romance, because God really does want to romance us and be intimate with us and show us his love in ways that we can receive it.
And if I had to guess, I would say that is one of the motivations for this recent project of yours, praying the scriptures for your life. And we were really hoping that you could tell us your heart behind this new book. And it is a little bit of a standout from the Praying for Your Kids series that you have. We'd love to know more about it.
Well, it's definitely different. It's broken down into 31 days, and it's meant as a little bit more of a devotional book because the chapters are shorter and there are questions for reflection at the end. You know, a husband and wife could read it together and chat through some of the questions and that kind of thing. But there are scripture prayers in each chapter as well. But, you know, true confession, this is not a book I wanted to write. I felt like God was teaching me about what abiding in him looked like. I'd been reading John 15 and learning what it meant to kind of stay attached, to remain in him, to yield to him, to surrender, all of that. And the publisher said to me, well, why don't you write Praying the Scriptures for Your Life? And honestly, I said, well, that sounds narcissistic. I was like, you know, that does not sound like something people should be reading. Aren't we supposed to pray for our neighbors and our loved ones and, you know, starving people on the other side of the world? Praying for your life just sounds so selfish. And, you know, God is so precious because he set me straight again, like he always does. And he just said, Jody, I want you to come to me with all of your needs. I want you to talk to me about them. I want you to see me as your source of wisdom, comfort, strength, all of that, whether it's, you know, on dealing with suffering and grief or on aging well or on being a better parent or making friends or extending forgiveness when it's hard. You know, all of these issues that are part and parcel of everyday life are what are in the book. I feel like through this book, God has drawn me into deeper intimacy with him as I pray about issues in my life. And that has strengthened and equipped my own faith to be able to pray for others. So, you know, they do kind of go together. But yeah, so truth be told, it's a book I didn't want to write. But boy, oh boy, am I glad both the Holy Spirit and my publisher pressed me to do it, because I love seeing how God really cares about all the details of our lives. And he really does.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Jody, I want to thank you for all you've done to put these practical tools in the hands of parents to pray for their kids. And now this one, I think your idea of going through it together as a couple is a good one. I think Joanna and I will do that. But I hope that every mom and dad listening takes a hold of those of these books too. So where's the best place for our friends to find your resources and connect with you online?
Well, I would love for people to visit jodyburnt.com. because that's where folks can find out about the books. And, you know, there are links on there to all the retailers to order the books. But there's also a lot of free resources on there, printable prayer calendars, prayer cards, things parents can tuck in their kids' lunch boxes or put at their bedside. I just have a huge heart for making prayer very doable. And so all of those kind of freebies are up there at jodyburnt.com. Or folks can connect with me on Instagram. I'm Jody_Burnt. Feel free to reach out there or DM me, and I read them all and I get back to as many as I can. So thank you for asking that.
Yeah, that's great. And before we wrap up today, we are also hoping that you could pray for us, that Rob and I and our listeners would pray with bold confidence and with joyful hope for our kids. Could you pray for all of us right now?
Yes, that would be a privilege. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving that you are our good, good Father, that you do love us, that you know, as Scripture says, our needs even before we ask you. And so I just pray for Rob and Joanna and for each person listening today, whatever the need is or the concern that is on our hearts, we give it to you, knowing that as we remain in you and as your words remain in us, we really can, as Jesus says, ask whatever we want, and it will be done for us. And you go on to say, Lord, you say, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And I just thank you, Lord, that the way that we do bear fruit in this life is through our prayers. That's the way we show that we're your disciples, and that's the way we bring glory to you. So I pray you would equip us each to love you well, to talk with you well, and to bring glory to you through our prayers and through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Jody, for taking the time to talk with us today and encourage us in prayer. It's been really great.
Well, thank you. Lord bless you and your wonderful growing family.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, friends, for joining us today at the Growing Home Together podcast. Rob and I would love to connect with you, too, on our website at growinghometogether.com. You'll find a free marriage devotional, fun activities to share with your kids, and a link to our Praying for Your Teen Facebook group. And at Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And growing home together with you. Bye.
Bye-bye.